Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Terry and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. Happy 9 o'clock hour. Happy Friday, everybody. We made it. It's Friday.
We did.
We got the band back together. We're having some fun. We'll get some good stuff in for you today. In just a little bit, we're going to get into four Easter-themed April Fool's jokes to be on the lookout for. I feel actually like we're spoiling something almost.
You know,
I feel
that's a little, good point.
I should probably
talk about these on Tuesday.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, it's just going to make you work a little harder in April Fool's. We're going to have some fun with a couple of other things too here, Terry, that I want to get to. But first up, we're going to get into a little bit of entertainment news. We're going to dive right into that and get into some local programming as well when we do it. But for right now, I'm curious about this one, Terry. It's not just you. Pop music lyrics are getting a little bit dumber. This is an interesting
shocker.
Topic. If you think song lyrics are getting sillier or dumber, they're using the word dumber. I don't know if I feel good about that, but just to, you know, lack of a better word to use.
More dumber?
Right, yeah. Dumb and dumber. Are they getting sillier or dumber than when we were young? You're not just a crotchety old grump. You're actually very perceptive because they are. According to a study published in Scientific Reports, lyrics have become simpler, more repetitive, and easier to understand since the 1980s.
Interesting.
We're talking about major genres here, pop, R&B, rock, country, all of the above. All of this this happened to all genres of music.
I mean, we 80s kids are superior.
The number of different words used within a song has decreased, particularly in rap, country, and rock songs. But the number of words with three syllables or more has actually increased. Researchers also found that lyrics have become more emotional and personal, and anger-related words have increased across all genres.
You know, this is interesting. But at the same time, it's never crossed my mind to
second.
Like think about creating statistics about this.
Yeah.
So it makes me curious.
I like data and I like facts and stats and all those things. So that usually pulls me in. But when it comes to music, I get a little bit more like protective, I feel like, of it. And
yeah.
I don't know, lack of a better word. I don't know.
So this is like a first date thing? Oh, what do you do? Oh, I count syllables of song lyrics.
Like, where are you going? Why? I never get a second date. That's doesn't seem like a good thing to lead with. What are your hobbies?
Goofy.
You know?
Yeah. I count syllables.
Now, this is one of those things where I am always very adamant about, I don't like the people picking on younger generations, and it just seems like low-hanging fruit. Everybody always does that. Oh, the younger generation, this, blah, blah, blah. With this one, it actually seems like it's kind of like factual a little bit. Like, hey, your lyrics have gotten dumber. Like, we got the science to back it up here and everything.
Just when we thought you couldn't get dumber.
Right. Here's the thing about this, though. I don't know that we can necessarily blame the artists or that you have anybody to blame in this one.
No.
It's kind of funny. You and I were talking about this off air a little bit. We do this all the time in society. Sometimes there is no villain. Sometimes there is no bad guy. It's just life.
It's just different. It's just the evolution of music, right?
The idea that music has gotten more repetitive or simpler, I think that they have fine-tuned, for lack of a better way, for a pun there. But they've really gotten centered. They've gotten it narrowed down. Hey, this is what makes a hit. Hey, this is what people like. If we're frustrated by this, we have nobody to blame but ourselves, because they're not doing it if it's not popular. You know, if it's not selling.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to do it. You know, nobody's coming out with this and, oh, it didn't do well. It didn't sell well. Well, we're going to do that again.
We should do it again.
Yeah, you know. When's the last time, have you seen a second Chris Gaines album? No, you haven't, because it didn't do well. There's nobody really to blame on this, I don't think. I think it's just producers and artists realizing, hey, this is what works. We're going to lean into it. And I do think it's noteworthy as well that they mentioned since the 80s. Because the 80s, I think, is the top of the list when it comes to one-hit wonders. And it comes to image and a lot of the things. Music really changed a lot with the 80s, not just with image and with the one-hit wonder thing, but with the rise of the synthesizer. The 70s were kind of doing that a little bit, but as soon as the 80s hit, like 1980 hit January 1st, and everybody had a key guitar, and those were huge.
I agree.
So I think that changed music a lot, too, there. And I don't know how much all of that affected this, but it's kind of interesting to look at. And we're still, like, it's not like music's less popular now than when we were kids. Music's still just as, if not more popular now. It's kind of interesting. You can find the full report at scientificreports.com. You can go and check that out if you like. I wanted to talk a little bit about the WBA Awards. Yesterday, we were able to talk a little bit about this with our team here. We had Seth and Melissa, and Melissa stopped by to spend some time on this one. For those who don't know, the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association does this every year. They have awards for excellence, recognizing outstanding radio and television broadcast achievements by member stations and college and high school broadcasting students. It's an organization that's been around a long time, supporting local. Supporting radio stations here in Wisconsin. The great organization that does great work. And they're also an organization I have not thought about in probably 20 years. I'm being honest about this. I pay attention to the WBAs. I get their newsletter. I care about the organization. But as far as like being nominated or winning awards, I haven't thought about that my whole radio life, because the radio stations I worked at just honestly did not put the money into it and didn't do those kind of things. Civic Media is a young station, and one of the things that our ownership wanted to do, and one of the ways they noted to get noticed, and this is just how the world works, you get awards, you get nominated for stuff, you get your name out there, that affects things. That gets, you know, your name out there, period. So our owner, Sage, asked all of our local radios, all of our radio stations to, you know, have submissions. And, you know, our team is small. And to be honest with you, we got it in like kind of at the last second, a lot of these things and stuff. It wasn't something I put a lot of thought into, but not a lot of heart into. Awards don't mean that much to me. I don't put a lot of stock into these things. But I'm very proud of this team. And I've never been more proud to work with people as I am with this team currently that we have here at WFHR. So when it comes to recognizing these people that I work with, heck yeah, let's do it. All right, I'm all game. And we want to send a shout out to the Maggie Dawn show, the Earl Ingram show that was nominated for a couple of things. A lot of civic media stuff got nominated for things. And then there's WFHR, which got nominated for more stuff than anybody.
Woohoo!
Best Morning Radio Show, Mornings with WFHR, right here. This show right here was nominated for Best Morning Radio Show. Best Radio Show, The Kitchen's Open, our segment inside this show. And a shout-out to Melissa for that. The Best Continuing Coverage, PIFA's Wausau coverage. The Best Use of Audio and Radio News, Anti-Mask Resolution. Best Specialty Programming, Seth Faces the Music, and Director's Cut. We're going up against each other in that category. And Seth is going up against himself in that category. Best Interview, Director's Cut. Our interview with Mystery Science Theater's Mary Jo Peel is nominated for Best Interview. Best Promotional Announcement, Seth Faces the Music promo, one of my favorite commercials of all time. And Best Humorous Commercial or Underwriting Announcement, DoorWorks Voicemail. All of these nominated and finalists, because what I found out that I did not know about the WBAs is that if we are getting this information, that means we are at least in third place. We're on the medal stand. We at least won a bronze from this. So we're coming home with awards, people. Like, that's pretty cool.
That is awesome. Well deserved.
And incredibly well deserved by this team. I don't think if I spent the whole 2 hours of the morning show explaining to you everything Pam does, I don't think it would cover enough, let alone if I did that for Melissa or Seth. I'll never be able to express how hard every single person in this station works, how hard our engineer and our GM Chuck does, what he does not just for our station, but Civic Media. Keep in mind that all these people that run WFHR are also running WIRI. And two different radio stations. You've got people here that are wearing 5 to 6 multiple hats just to get this to work, just to do this, and just because we love you guys so much. Because all of that being said, and a big shout out to our advertisers, we can't do this without them, but none of this happens without you out there, the listener. So when I'm mentioning these awards and I'm mentioning these nominations and everything, do yourself a favor right now, everybody. Take a moment and pat yourself on the back, because you guys won these awards too. Every single one of you out there, I don't give a dang if it sounds corny. I mean every syllable of this. We're not here without you. So you take pride in this too. This is your station. This is your area. And we are so proud of that. Thank you, everybody, helping us being able to do this work. A big thank you to this team and a shout out to Seth and Melissa and the amazing work that they're doing. Very proud of this. Very
exciting.
Proud. See you in Madison, everybody. This is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
I've got a suit picked out.
You better
everything.
Dust off your I'm suit.
Like, yeah. I got to do that. Looking at what's new on your small screen and big screen this weekend. Taking a quick dive into that, if my computer will work. it's been
taking a dive, literally.
Rick, look, there's a lot of stuff on this weekend. March Madness. March Madness is going on. Sweet 16 games continue today on CBS, True TV, and TNT. And the Elite Eight will play Saturday and Sunday. You've got the 35th Annual GLAAD Media Awards on Hulu. Friday on Peacock, the streaming premiere of Lisa Frankenstein, a romantic horror comedy. I want to see that. Robin Williams' daughter directed that.
Oh, really?
It's her first directed movie. So I want to see it. Zelda Williams directed it. I want to see it for that. There's some new movies on Netflix, The Beautiful Game, starring Bill Knightley. And on Disney Plus, Renegade Nell. Those are new. Also, let's see here. On ESPN, the 35th season premiere of Sunday Night Baseball. Los Angeles Dodgers versus the St. Louis Cardinals. Baseball's back. And the Brewers, of course, kicking off baseball today. They had to move their game over. On Showtime, the series premiere of A Gentleman in Moscow, starring Ewan McGregor as a nobleman who is spared immediate execution during the Russian Revolution. It looks so good. It's a period movie or TV show. Yeah. Ewan McGregor looks amazing in it.
Huh. So I'll really check that out.
He's it's based on a true story about loosely based on a true story a guy who is an archaic and he has to stay in this hotel. That's his prison sentence. He cannot leave the hotel. And it's, you know.
Interesting. I'm sorry, what network did you say that's on?
It's on
Showtime.
Showtime?
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know if I'll be able to see it, to be honest with you. But I want to see it. It looks really good. And let's see what's new on your big screen. What's new in movie theaters this weekend? In the Land of Saints and Sinners, starring Liam Neeson, who has a particular set of skills that you, I don't know. It's like, I like Liam Neeson a lot. I think he's a thespian. I think he's a very good actor. The last 5-6 years, Liam's pretty much played the same character every movie. And no problem with that.
Can you guys just come up with another plot? Because yeah. I'm just going to be this same guy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and more power to him, man. Get your money. I got no problem with that. The big one in theaters this weekend, Godzilla vs. Kong, The New Empire, the fifth movie in the Kong Godzilla Monsterverse. These movies are huge. They do really well. I did not think these movies were going to do well coming out the gate. They've done very well, though. People like them. That's what's new on your big screen and new on your stage. The Wausau Community Theater has a show going on. A big shout out to our friends over there. They have Outside Mullinger. They had a premiere. They had the premiere last night. I heard good things about it. They got a show tonight and a show tomorrow at 7 o'clock. You can find out more at wausaucommunitytheater.org. Wausaucommunitytheater.org. Encourage you to do that. We will go over our schedule a little bit later for you, everybody. We've got some good stuff lined up there. A lot of good sports this weekend. We want to touch. In fact, you know what? I'm going to do
it. Let's just do it now.
I'm just going to do it right now. Yeah. I was going
to. What are we waiting for?
Yeah. looking at what's new on your schedule for us here this weekend. Well, today from 3 to 4, we've got a great midday magazine lined up for you that will lead right into Wisconsin hockey. So at part one, we're going to talk to our friends at the Wisconsin Prairie Chicken Festival. I'm going to talk with them about the great festival that they have going on over there. And we have a best of episode afterwards. Keep in mind that we will lead right into Wisconsin men's hockey at 4 o'clock today. And looking at our sports schedule, they've got that game going on today here at WFHR. Looking forward to that. And on Saturday, we got Bucks basketball at Atlanta taking on the Hawks. 6 o'clock. We are going to follow with Wisconsin women's basketball team as well as they advance. And we don't have an update on some of those games yet. We'll find out as that happens. Great sports on your weekend, all weekend here right at WFHR. Good stuff. We'll be following.
Yeah, great lineup.
And keep in mind, we've got great original content for you as well. It kicks off on Saturday with Outdoors with Dan Small. Great show hosted by local. We got Dan's co-host is from the Rapids area. The Sunshine Polka Show at 7 a.m. Maybe the greatest show of all time. Join us for that, the Sunshine Polka Show. Tim Hubbelt, the Polka Guy, does an amazing job with that week in and week out. We appreciate the work that you do there, Tim. Be sure to check that. And, of course, afterwards you will have Terry Talks Nutrition, thanks to our friends at Family Natural Foods giving us that one. Great show, great information. Terry does an amazing job with that. Join us from 11 to noon for Over the Back Fence. Seth does a great job taking your phone calls with the items you're looking for, items you want to sell. Be sure to spread the word about that show, too, everybody. We want to keep Over the Back Fence comments alive and on our radio station. And the only way we can do that is if it is used, if you guys call up and join us.
We need you giving us a call, things you want to buy or sell.
Mm-hmm. And then our weekend lineup is going to probably look a little bit different with Wisconsin hockey going on, but maybe not, because I think that we'll have time. We'll have Seth Faces the Music this weekend from 6 to 8. Join us for that. Seth's themed touch. Going to have a lot of songs balanced around that. And then afterwards, you'll have Unlabeled. Yes, Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape. Be sure to join us for that from 8 to 9. Got a great one lined up. Got your request coming up, Terry.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if it's in this one or not. I think it's in the third episode, but that's coming up. And I want your requests, everybody. If you've got a hit from the 90s you want to hear, if it was released from 1990 to 1999, I will play it. It doesn't matter the genre. I'll play it. Get it to us, everybody. James.mailoff@civicmedia.us. And a big thank you to everybody who's made that show and Seth Faces the Music and Director's Cut so popular. We appreciate that out of everyone out there. We got a new Director's Cut episode coming up for you. Just keep that in mind. Looking forward to it. We will come back, and we're talking April Fools and Easter. April Fool's Day and Easter. We're talking about those coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James hanging out with you.
Long distance information, give me Memphis, Tennessee.
We hope you're having a great Friday out there, everyone. Thanks for joining us for it. Good stuff coming up today. Let's get into this one, Terry. So Easter is on Sunday and April Fool's Day is on Monday, so there is a chance for some crossover. And here are a few Easter-themed pranks to be on the lookout for or to try yourself. We might actually be giving people suggestions here, and I just realized that.
If you live in my house, no pranks allowed till the first.
Till the first. That's exactly my mother's rule, too. And she had to make that rule because of me. Nobody in our house likes April Fool's. Nobody, except my mother and I. And we drove our family crazy with this over the years, to the point where they actually had to sit my mother and I down and like, look, you guys, like, just
enough.
April 1st.
Enough. Or just to each other.
Just to each exactly. Wow. Were you in the room? Like, yeah, exactly. Like, we can only do it to things.
The rest of us
now
are out.
It's hilarious. I'll never forget that day. So, first off, I want to hear if you've got any favorite April Fool's jokes you've played. I want to hear those. And if you don't have them today, bring them to us on Monday's show. Actually, let's save that for Monday's show. Yeah, let's hear your April Fool's jokes on Monday. I want to do that. That'll be fun. You can give them to us now if you want. But I'd like to. We'll do that on Monday for sure. But for now, let's take a look at these ideas that they have. Dyed raw eggs. Someone's bound to break one while tossing it into the basket. So dyed raw.
Or when you go to crack it to eat it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
That's fine with that one. Yeah. Plastic eggs filled with silly, unexpected stuff. Instead of candy, the eggs are filled with like baby carrots or frozen peas or shaving cream.
That'd be fun. Wouldn't it be fun to fill one of those with frozen peas? Totally fun.
I'm kind of with that one. Yeah, I like that. Wrapped grapes in foil. You can unwrap those small chocolate eggs and use the wrapper to wrap grapes instead. They'll look just like chocolate eggs to an unsuspecting Mark. Oh.
But grapes are good. So that's not a... I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not too big of a punishment.
No. These actually are much more tame than I thought they were going to be. Much more. And gross-tasting jelly beans. According to a recent ranking, the three worst jelly bean flavors are buttered popcorn, licorice, and chili mango. Whoa, I've never had chili mango
before.
See,
I think all of those would be better than, you know, like... Jelly Bellies has one that's like vomit.
Yeah, they got those messed up ones. Ooh. Yeah, that's going too far.
Like
yeah.
In the Bean Boozled challenge, yeah. There's some of those. Or Skunk.
Yeah, Yeah. I have to admit, the mischievous part of me is
these
really
are cute.
Enjoying, these are
yeah.
bad. Yeah, these. I really thought they were going a whole different direction with this. That's fun. Those are fun. But I'm with you, Terry. You got to do it on April Fool's.
I have one little prankster in my house. Mm. So, and she likes to, you know, like she's short sheeting the beds. She's yeah. putting like tin foil inside your pillowcase.
Boy.
So like you lay down and it's all like crunchy. She's, you know, she's rubber banding the sprayer at the sink. Like, seriously.
I wonder where she could have gotten
yeah,
that
not from.
From
me.
Not at all. Of course not. No. Yeah, you're Terry. I don't know. I like those. I'm going to be chewing on this one and thinking about it over the weekend and seeing what we can come up with. Bring your April Fool's jokes on Monday. And certainly if they're Easter themed, we'd love to to hear those. Those are fun. I like them. I'm trying to think of any off the top of my head to like kind of spin off of those, like what we could, what you could do. I love the idea. What about like you hide the Easter basket and they find the basket, but you know how it's always got the fake grass in there?
Mm-hmm.
Like just even more fake grass, like just a ton of fake grass. And they go through it all and there's like one chocolate egg, like just at the bottom. You got the rest of the candy on the side and everything, but you'll give them the rest of the candy. But like the first reaction would be golden, would be great. If you can get the Easter Bunny to work with you on these, I mean, think that'd be a lot of fun.
You know,
the Easter Bunny's got a good sense of humor, so I can see I can see that happening. This is an interesting one. So the number might be even higher today since it's a Friday and a lot of people spend casual Friday. But at least 25% of us are wearing jeans right now. I know I am.
I usually am not, but I am.
That's according to a new poll that asked nearly 15,000 Americans of all ages how often they wear jeans. One in four said daily. To be fair, that would also include people who change into jeans when they get home from work. So it's possible fewer than that are wearing them at this exact moment. Still, that's a lot of denim. Another 35% said a few times a week. 12% said once a week. So 72% of Americans are wearing jeans on a weekly basis. 8% overall said that they never wear jeans. Seniors were most likely to say that, 14%. Once it hit a certain age, you need like a little more stretch. The poll also found straight leg jeans are number one across all age groups. Then it's boot cut, skinny jeans, slim fit jeans, wide leg jeans are fifth.
They're making a comeback, though.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Is that the bell bottom kind of look?
Wider. Okay. Yeah. Right. But I think dress codes have relaxed so much, like workplace dress codes. So I don't know. I'm not surprised. Too many people are wearing jeans.
So I work an odd job. So it's hard. I come from a hard place on this where it's radio and not people are seeing us or anything. Although nowadays radio is also become a bit of a visual medium for many people. But even with that, we've never had a dress code here in radio. But at the same time, we have a lot of guests come in and I want to look good for guests in Morning Magazine. I want to look at least decent, at least presentable. But you also don't want to come in dressed to the nines, because if I have a guests come in and they're not dressed that way, they're going to feel uncomfortable. So my number one job when I bring a guest in, even you, Terry, is to make you feel comfortable.
What do you mean? You didn't even unlock the door this morning.
Yeah, that was a little awkward on my part. I'm sorry about that. It's a little different for you since you're like a big sister to me. So it's a little bit different. You're probably not a great example. But I'm not going to make somebody feel comfortable if I'm all dressed up any more than if I'm dressed slobbish and they come in and that. So there's a line there.
Yeah, and it is nice of you to change out of your Zubas in the morning and into jeans.
Thank you for noting.
You know.
That. I will say, I am that.
Please don't tell me you have those.
No, I don't. But I do have a pair of Adidas that I change into as soon as I can. I don't like wearing jeans. So as soon as I can, I flip into those. Or shorts. I love wearing that, one or the other. The lax on the dress code, I don't think necessarily is a bad thing. But I am curious of how the rest of the world looks at that. How other people feel about it.
And we kind of still do. I mean, my rule is still business casual. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to be to the night. I mean, if we have certain events where it's appropriate, then yes. But otherwise, we're still doing business casual. Like, men don't have to wear a shirt and tie. A polo is fine, or just a button down shirt. But we do a relaxed dress code on Friday.
I do. I think business casual is the way forward for almost every industry. There's obviously a few out there that you have to dress a little bit differently in the other end of the spectrum. But I do think that that has been the way kind of going forward now, where we're all kind of taking on that. You see that a lot more. And I genuinely think that it leads to better business. I think that it leads to happier employees. And I'm saying business casual. I feel like this is also bled into other things. I'm not a person that attends church, but I do know a lot of people that do. And one of the bigger complaints I hear is, this person coming to church and dressing in sweatpants, or this person with the holy clothes or anything. And I always ask, like, do you know that person? because that person might not have clothes. You know, they might have, I've heard this a lot with a lot of my African American friends and a lot of the churches in the South. And there are people who will not go to church because they don't have nice enough clothes. And that is heartbreaking to me.
Yeah.
Again, this is not my wheelhouse.
No, I hear you.
But that does seem a little bit harsh to me. Like, I feel like of all the environments where you shouldn't be judging people, a church would be the one. Like, I would think.
And then you're talking about it after. Yeah, I mean, come on.
I do. It's interesting. It's a balance. Because I could see where some people are coming from, especially in the business world. I could also see where employees are coming from. It's just one of those things. I don't know if there's a right answer. I think it's every company, every business has to approach it to their own eyesight, their own perspective, from their own eyes.
You know, and it's very interesting to me, like, back when my retail days, I mean, which is a long time ago, but it's really not. I mean,
no,
you know, 18 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, we were requiring, like, women were required to wear nylons or pantyhose. Mm. You know, you could not have open toe shoes.
Yeah.
You know, like, you had to wear, if you wore slacks, if you wore pants, you had to have two tops on as a female, like a jacket or a sweater or something. Like it, I mean, it was pretty particular. Now you see, like, even our, like, your letter carriers, they wear jeans.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't wear uniforms anymore.
I know that some of this is, the pushback on some of this is, well, you know, we're just trying to find employees nowadays, and it's hard to find them in that. I don't know. I don't, again, if it makes to better business, then I don't see an issue with it necessarily. But I do think that it's one of those things that you just kind of have to figure out, each company has to figure out, and each business themselves. I'm curious how where that goes going forward, though, too, because we tend to not, like, pull back on these things. We tend to go more in on them and everything. So
I think the hard part is, like, with jeans, I mean, is kind of the whole, but it's with everything, dress clothes, too. It's just, you know, do you come in looking like you just rolled out of bed, or do you actually put some care into your casual outfit?
That's huge. It's a huge
you
part.
Know?
Yeah, yeah. I would say that even if, you know, we may not have the greatest of things or whatever, but you effort is you
but can
tell.
Be clean and they can be, like, you know, not off the floor.
Yeah, yeah. You can see effort. You can tell effort. So I do think that that's the noteworthy. I think that is. We will check in with our partners, get to our news break here. We'll come back and we got more fun in store for you. Terry and James, taking it through your morning here at WFHR.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around the clock tonight. Put your splat rags on. Join me, hon. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes one.
Terry and James here with you. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. I don't know. That song still holds up.
Does it?
I think
I know.
It still holds
well, right
up.
Away. I started, like,
yep,
my foot starts tapping instantly.
Something about it still does it. Some of the things that are old are still, you know, fresh and new to us or still work or, you know, something. Not everything do we have to re-examine and change. And sometimes there are things that we do adapt to. We do grow and change with. And we're talking parenting now. A completely undivisive subject that never gets, you know, anybody bent out of shape. Here's an okay kind of situation that we might want to ease into. To here a little bit, or just a reminder that being a parent is a thankless job and very difficult, and nobody has it down completely. Almost 3 in 4 millennial parents think that they're currently doing a better job than with their kids than their own parents did with them. 73% think that's true, and 88% say that their parenting style is different than their own parents did.
And okay, saying it's different is one thing.
Yeah,
saying that you're doing it better, you should probably just zip your lip.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know about
now,
that.
Now, your parent might say, oh, gosh, you know, you're doing a great job.
Very
you're doing
different.
Better than I. That's very different.
Yes, yes, yes. I can't imagine, like, there are the list of things that you will never catch me saying to my mother and father. This is, like, in the top three. Maybe top two. I don't know. So what are parents today doing differently? According to the poll, here are the top 4 parenting strategies we're using that most parents didn't. I think that one other thing to mention here, Terry, that you kind of touched on there a little bit. One of the things that I have noticed, if there is a theme with every good parent, it's wanting your kids to have a better life than you did.
Oh, absolutely.
And all that. So that, I think, isn't a key part of this. Maybe there's a little of that going on with that. I'm giving a little bit of wiggle room here.
Doing it different is fine. But the other just sounds so arrogant.
It does. It does. And I don't think anybody appreciates. I don't know anybody who appreciates arrogance. Ever. Under any situation. I don't care if we're talking sports or politics or anything else. Nobody really likes arrogance. So that doesn't usually go over very well. Here are the ways that they feel that they are the different strategies they are using, like gentle parenting, a style that, quote, guides children through the decision-making process without the parent setting demands and rules. Good luck with that. No.
you took the words right out of my mouth.
I mean, it sounds good in theory until you have a three-year-old in front of you that is not listening to anything you're saying. Nothing's working. Nothing happens. Oh, and by the way, it's 2 a.m. and you got to work at 5.
Or they're laying on the floor in the middle of a store. Like, yes. I'm not waiting that one out.
Yeah. Where we get advice. 24% have gotten parenting advice from social media, but then other than that, it hasn't really changed much. It's only the fifth most trusted source for advice behind family, other parents, friends, and parenting books. So we're not really getting advice in a different way. It's just we have a more, I think we have a bigger pool to pull from now was that. With that being said, we talk a lot about parents and children, but parents and parents, one of the greatest things you can do as a parent for another parent is listen. That's it. That's all. If they ask you for advice, sure, go right ahead. You go ahead and unload on them. But if they're not asking for advice, don't give it.
And there is not a single parent out there who has done everything perfectly, yes, right? Like you have to forgive yourself for, you know, like forgetting something or doing something wrong or, you know, whatever. Like you got to move on.
And parents supporting other parents. I'm not saying that there isn't accountability or that you don't, you know, if you think somebody's doing some god-awful horrible job that just sit there and take it. But at the same time,
be a sounding board for each other, right? I mean,
parents supporting parents going forward would be a really cool thing to see.
And I think that's much more valuable, honestly, than what you're maybe finding on social media or unless, you know, you have your key, like, close friends that's how you communicate with them. Yeah. But thinking about, you know, asking your parents, asking your siblings who are parents, mm-hmm. asking friends who are parents, you know, and just helping each other.
Being open about mental health. Your own parents might have just bucked up, you know, buckle up, rub some dirt out of theirs, you know. But 80% of millennial parents think that discussions about mental health and emotional well-being are important. 98% are willing to talk about it with their kids now. 98%.
And that is different. I agree.
It's different because we didn't know any better.
Right. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like back when we were kids, I mean, it really was.
But they don't mention that in the article here. Like they should put that in there. Like I think that especially like just for example, my parents, my dad's parents, my mother's parents, wonderful human beings, but they came from a generation that were really touchy-feely, didn't do a lot of hugging, but they wanted to change that. But they didn't have a book about it. Nobody knew. So literally, when I would watch my pop and my dad hug, it looked like they needed an instruction manual, like they didn't know how to do it. But they loved to do it, and they would do it all the time. I had a very affectionate family, but it didn't start that way. They were trying to learn to be that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mental health was a very big topic in our household, and we talked about it a lot growing up, but also didn't know how to talk about it because there was no playbook for these things. It seems awfully judgmental and harsh to kind of like say, well, they didn't talk about mental health. Nobody was talking about mental health.
No, and there also wasn't, I don't think, care readily available either.
No.
You know, I was going to say access to care, but I think there are still challenges with access to care because there's not enough providers. Yeah. So I think that that's the same. But it's just different. It doesn't mean it was wrong.
Right.
It's different.
Right. It would be like getting mad at your parents for not recycling in the 40s. Like, who was recycling in the 40s? Nobody was doing that. Like, come on. You know? And being present with your kids. 80% of millennial parents claim that they always try to prioritize their kids over work. And 77% think that they're more present with their children than their parents were.
But you know what? To me, that is a demonstration of change in the workplace.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
Parents, I don't know. I feel like parents back, we'll use the 40s. We don't have to go back that far. Mm-hmm. You know, 60s, 70s, 80s, there was not flexibility in the workplace.
No.
Not like there is now. I'm not saying there was none, but not like there is now. So I mean, they can try to like own that as they came up with it. But I just think there's much more flexibility afforded to parents than there used to be.
As hard as it is for some to do, it's important to do whenever we have an opportunity to. We talk such trash about businesses and, oh, business this, business that, and everything. This is a good thing businesses have realized and done. And got to give credit to that because you're absolutely right. That's where that starts. And last couple of stats. A third of millennial parents say that they have to deal with their own parents questioning their new age methods a lot. Yeah, yeah.
Should expect that.
Yeah. And that, by the way, if we surveyed every generation of parents, every same. One of them could say the same thing. Yeah. But regardless of where you stand on it, most agree having kids these days isn't easy. 43% of parents say that they're currently burnt out. That's a really high number. And I do think that as parents of kids of other generations like myself or older people out there, it's important to note we have no idea what it's like to be a parent of a kid nowadays. It's a completely different ballgame. Again, I think you could say that for every generation, but specifically in this generation. These are the first generations. The internet generations are the first, and the internet parents, those kids, are the first generations of having to deal with 24/7 bullying or some of these topics that I, as a parent, never had to deal with. And my kids are only in their 20s, you know, in their early 20s for that matter. I think it's important to note that and say, I don't understand what it's like to be a parent of a teenager nowadays or a kid in grade school or something. And that's a whole different ballgame. And again, the greatest thing I can do as a fellow parent, that right there. Just listening. Mm-hmm. That's it. And I'm asked advice. That's a whole different ballgame. But I don't think I'm going to be asked for a lot of advice. I don't think that's going to happen. We'll take a time out. We'll come back after checking in with our partners and wrap up the show. We got a That Ain't Right story for the ages for you. You've got to hear this one. It's coming up.
Can we just do it?
Morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. LA proved too much for the man. Terry and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll take you to the top of the hour. Got some good stuff lined up for you. Stick around. Matt and Air on the Air coming up. Great show. We encourage you to stick around for that. And a little bit later today, from 3 to 4, we'll have Midday Magazine for you. We'll lead you into Wisconsin Badger men's hockey.
Woohoo!
Yes. Roll Wisconsin. On Wisconsin. But for right now, Terry, we got to get into this That Ain't Right story. And I've been hanging on to this one. I've been waiting to get into
you
this
You always
one.
Make me nervous when
I
you say
that.
I
love these. If you're an unusually hairy human being, maybe steer clear of Northeast Washington next month, or at least keep your shirt on. A sheriff's office in Colville, Washington, posted a funny update on Facebook after a guy called in to ask if he's allowed to hunt Sasquatch.
I was just going to say, is it like a Sasquatch festival or something?
He said he'll be coming in from out of town in April, wanted to know if Bigfoot hunting is legal there. Good of him to check ahead.
I would say yes, but we require a license. They could collect some cash from this dude.
His question was, yeah, do we need a special license? They told him it was really more of a question for the Fish and Wildlife Office, but he said he already called them, and that's who referred him to the...
kick the can down the road.
Whoever took the call passed it up the chain of command. They said he told them he'd wait to hear back and wanted to clarify he was only interested in bagging male Sasquatch. He of course wouldn't hunt or shoot a female Sasquatch. Good of him to do that, of course. You know, you want the Sasquatch to be able to keep on growing and everything. You know,
I mean, he clearly wasn't raised by millennials because they haven't talked to him about his mental health.
The chief of police wanted to pass along two pieces of information in case anyone else wanted to travel in the area to hunt Bigfoot. One, the guy was asking about an area called Meadow Lake, which is actually in a different county, so the sheriff there might have more info. And two, he's pretty sure there aren't any around because one of his deputies would have hit one with their patrol car by now, as crazy as it is over there and
but
everything.
But if you are hairy, extra hairy.
Yeah.
Keep a shirt on.
Keep a shirt on. Maybe a flannel. Maybe, you know. Maybe
a reflective vest.
Yes,
something.
Yes. Maybe just a sign. I am not Bigfoot.
You think that would make a difference? He'd be like, oh, Bigfoot had a sign on that said I'm not Bigfoot.
Somebody's got him all scoped up and everything. Oh, wait. No, he's got a sign. I'm not Bigfoot. Oh, wait, I'm so sorry. Sorry. Wear a lot of orange.
So all of the Sasquatch out there, make yourself a sign. Say I am not Bigfoot.
I love this. I like these stories. And I'm so with you, Terry. This is where our brains get a little too alike. Because I immediately thought, oh, well, they should sell a license for this. Make a couple bucks off of this. If you're foolish enough to buy a Sasquatch license, I have no empathy for you.
If like Fish and Wildlife would have said something like, oh, you know, it's a limited competitive process and the license is like $1,200.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you have been curious to see if he would have been like, where do I write the check? You know, like,
well,
he clearly
high,
is not all there.
I mean, no, no. I also would think that would be cool is a great promotional thing, like a great way to like to like put in your, because obviously you're probably not going to find a Sasquatch
or draw people to your community,
but
yeah.
draw people tourism. To your community, tourism, add into your community. It'd be a fun way to kind of do that, I think.
That's the other thing, though. If you live in that community, do you want the Sasquatch hunters all coming? I mean, one randomly, but do you want them all?
That's a very good point. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about that one. Small towns, maybe. I don't know otherwise, though. Yeah. That's a good one. Let's get a palate cleanser in. And Terry, I want to catch people up about the United Way. And you've got some great things coming up. Most specifically, our most around the corner is Community Shred Day.
Yes. April 10th is Community Shred Day, taking place at Prevail Bank here in Wisconsin Rapids on Lincoln Street. The event will be from 9 until 11 or sooner if we meet our maximum capacity. So if you're participating, I encourage you to come early. You can bring two boxes of sensitive documents that need to be shredded for free. And then it's just a $5 donation to United Way for each box thereafter. I want to say thanks to our sponsors, Prevail Bank and Bank Account, each donating a dollar for each shredded pound up to $2,000. So that's super exciting that we are able to leverage donations for this and really encourage you to get that stuff out of your house, right? So you have the next week and a half, you know, put it in some paper bags or put it in a box and head on over to Prevail Bank with that. You don't even have to get out of your car. We will scoop it up out of your back seat or trunk or wherever it is and put it in the shredder for you. Great service being offered by Prevail and a huge opportunity to help your community through United Way.
And keep in mind, team registration is open now for United Weekend Hunger event. Join us as the Rafters take on the Battle Creek Battle Jacks starting at 6:35 on that day. We're going to have it would be taking place at Witterfield. We're looking for your teams. If you want to register for today, you can go to uwswac.org or contact Ben at 715-421-0390, 421-0390. You can also email him, ben@uwswac.org.
Yeah, looking for about a dozen teams building a food sculpture. So yeah, plenty of time to plan. Encourage you to jump on board.
And be sure to follow along with our United Way at uwswac.org. Follow them on social media. It's a great way to follow and great way to put back into your community. You can always call 211 for volunteer opportunities. There's a lot of great things available for you from our United Way. We also got a great Midday Magazine lined up for you today. In part one, we're going to talk to the Wisconsin Prairie Chicken Festival, members of that, and talk a little bit about that great event that they have going on.
That'd be fun.
Looking forward to it. In part two, we'll have a best of episode for you.
Is it me?
Yes, and it's you. Hey, shocker, surprise.
Liar.
No, it's not.
Rude. Rude.
Keep in mind, with the holiday weekend and everything, the Wood County Courthouse, River Block, and Marshfield Annex offices will be closed today for Good Friday. Sheriff's Department deputies and other emergency responders will remain on duty, but their offices will be closed to the public. And the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce and Wisconsin Rapids Area Convention and Visitors Bureau will be closed today as well. The Wisconsin Rapids City Hall will have their regular business hours, 8 a.m. till noon. Also, due to the Easter holiday weekend, there will be no winter farmers market at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. The market will resume Saturday, April 6th from 9 to 1. We've got some great Easter hunt events going on in their area. The Wisconsin Rapids Kiwanis Club have their 94th annual Easter egg hunt. Shout out to them.
Isn't that awesome?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's taking place tomorrow at Lincoln High School, 1801 16th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids, our old stomping grounds. It'll be set up in the staff parking lot, north side parallel to the expressway. Activities will begin at 9 a.m. The egg hunt will start promptly at 10 when the air horn goes off.
Whoa.
That's official. That's official.
Yeah.
If there is inclement weather, they will move activities indoors, and keep in mind they'll have crafts, pictures with the Easter Bunny, games, and a lot more at the 94th annual Kiwanis Easter Egg Hunt happening tomorrow in Lincoln High School kicking off at 9.
And it's pretty fun. The Lincoln High School Key Club helps with that too. So you've got, you know, young and.
Yeah, that's cool.
I was going to say old. I didn't mean to. But, you know.
Old, young and younger.
Kiwanis and Key Club together.
Yeah. And there will be an Easter Egg Hunt in Rudolph at their Village Park tomorrow at 10 a.m. Go check that out. And a good morning to all of our friends in the Rudolph area. And the annual Grand Rapids Area Merchants Easter Egg Hunt being put on by the Grand Rapids Volunteer Fire Department is taking place tomorrow as well. It'll kick off at 10 a.m. at Mid-State Technical College. Arrive early to get parked and meet the Easter Bunny. Equipment will be on display before and after the event with multiple area agencies.
Okay. Three egg hunts all start at 10.
Yeah.
You got to be strategic.
You really do.
About, like, yeah. you know, do you rotate each year? Yeah, or do you, yeah. Mom goes one place with one, dad goes one place with one.
Idea.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like you've done this.
Now we just always go to Rudolph.
Nice. We want to remind everybody, today is your final day to get in on the Civic Media Ride in the Spring Text to Win statewide contest. Thank you to everybody who has played along with this, who has downloaded the Civic Media app, who helps us here at Civic Media keep democracy alive and real local radio alive. Thank you to everybody who's helping do that. By downloading the Civic Media app, you're doing that. You're supporting us, supporting local radio. We appreciate it. And we want to show you that appreciation. That's where this contest comes from. You just download the app, get ready for a keyword to text to us, and you have the hour to text that word. Text it to us, and just like that, you are in to win possibly an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in the Dells, or one of our two grand prizes that include these brand new bikes, this 3-in-1 blender, an outdoor patio love seat, all this stuff going on, and in just minutes, you'll get that 10 a.m. word.
Whew.
Yes. So be listening to WFHR, WIRI, like our local stations on the Civic Media app, and text us that keyword and get in on this contest, and keep on listening, because we're going to have more contests like this,
everybody.
This
is exciting.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. They got a lot of good things coming up with this. Download that app and get ready for that word. Let's take a look at some world good stories, Terry. Firefighters in New Jersey rescued a yellow lab that got her head stuck in the rim of a spare tire.
Oh.
They lubed her fur up with dish soap and vegetable oil and eventually had to use a plasma cutter to get her out, but they got her out and she's very happy cool. and doing well. A 27-year-old woman in Miami just got engaged and posted a screenshot of the text her future father-in-law sent. He wanted her to know how overjoyed everyone is that she'll be an official member of the family. He said he can't tell the two of them unconditionally love each other. He can tell that they unconditionally love each other and called it the most important thing that ever matters.
Isn't that sweet?
Well, very sweet.
Really awesome coming from a future father-in-law.
Yes.
You know, that's...
Absolutely.
That's above and beyond.
It really is. A station in Salem, Oregon did a story of a retired guy named John Piper who volunteers by doing yard work and picking up trash outside his local high school. His son went there, and he likes to keep the high school looking good. He's been doing it for five days a week for 16 years.
Wow.
Wow. Just... Wow.
I mean, my first question is, why doesn't the high school want to keep the high school looking good?
Yeah.
But good on him. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. It's individuals like that that make the world go around.
Absolutely.
We know there are a lot of great people.
There's
like that
a couple
there.
That I see walking A Street every single morning, picking up garbage every morning.
That's really
snowing.
Cool.
Warm, whatever. So I don't know their names, but if you're listening, shout out to you.
Yeah, we appreciate you. And we appreciate you, Terry. Thanks for sitting in today. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Have a good weekend, everybody. Have a happy Easter. Be good to each other. And we'll talk to you soon and later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.